what I found out when I left Sony, there was a little fear there, Brother Jerry and John. There was some fear because, you know, I'm used to hiding behind that name of Sony and using that as my resume. And so now I'm going out on my own. There was a little fear when I first stepped out. But then I found out from my fans that my fans, once you have a fan base, they don't care who I'm signed to. They will follow me wherever I want it to go.
Right.
So good content is good content. They don't care if it's on Warner Brothers, on Netflix. If it's good content, they will follow you. So I'm excited about this opportunity because I believe those names that we are able to capture, those people in the gospel and the jazz and actors and artists, if the content is good, their fan base will follow them, even if they have not heard about a BTV or a Smooth Life TV. Your fan base will follow you wherever you go. They don't care about the name of the label. They only care about the content.
Absolutely.
Because when something goes viral on YouTube, nobody checks the origin of it. When they watch it on TikTok or YouTube, all they get
right.
left, they're not, I'm not sure if I'm going to watch this. Where did that come from? Who are they signed to? So they only at what they're looking at, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the project is in its infancy. Where do you all see this effort 2 to 5 years from now? Jerry, you go first.
Well, I see this being a multi-million dollar collaboration. I just see that in my mind over the next 5 years. I think closer than that, I think in the next 2 years or so, I think you're going to see a significant impact on what streaming television can do. Okay, it can really change the trajectory of the actual playing field because I think with us having the influence of television, which ain't going nowhere, people want us to visually see something. And it also inspires, it trickles down to inspiring people to say, hey, if they did it, I can do it. If that type of movement that's going, I think it's going to go there in the next 5 years. We're looking at easily $100 to $200 million business. I mean, I can see it generate that kind of business.
I agree. And if we remember, this was a few years ago when people had to wait till they got home to check their voicemail.
Oh, come on.
They had to wait till they got home to put on the VCR.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything's changed. You can be sitting up at the bus stop, pull your phone out, and watch your favorite show. And
look
so where before you had to, I gotta get home, my program's coming on, my story coming on. Now just pull out your phone and you can be sitting on your iPhone, you sit on your app, sit in your car. And so I believe because of that change, it opens up a whole opportunity for us to get involved on the early stage, you know, because if we would have been able to put in $100 into Amazon when we first heard about it or the Walmart. So I feel like we're doing that with TV right now.
Yes.
And in 5 years, man, we're going to be buying major studios. I might have to retire you, John, man. I love the school, but y'all going to let John go. He can come work with us.
Ben Tankard, legendary recording artist. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Also, you can listen to a special collection of In Black America programs at American Archive of Public Broadcasting. That's americanarchives.org. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Friday, so I'm going to keep it black. But I'm going to keep it brief. So another black person was senselessly murdered. Trump has finally been indicted, and I don't want to talk about any of it. I am certain another creator has y'all covered on that front, and today, I just want to get somebody their flowers. Mr. Tyler James Williams. We love you, black man. Ever since y'all kept calling him the boy from Everybody Hates Chris like he ain't never worked on another set in a day of his life, he been the man and y'all put some respect on his name purely through his sheer talent and award-worthy performance on Abbott Elementary. And we've been seeing him outside a lot more lately, and he been putting that shit on. But y'all decide to resume the disrespect and call him gay because of the way he dresses and presents himself. And here's the thing. Gay isn't the insult. However, the way y'all are harping on his softer aesthetic, pointing out what you consider to be feminine traits, and using shame as a vehicle to challenge his masculinity and speculate on his sexuality is weird and problematic. And boy, did he let y'all have it. Bring in the roses! Instead of telling y'all to mind the business that pay you, he responded with sense. He said, I'm not gay, but I think the culture of trying to find some kind of hidden trait or behavior that a closeted person let slip is very dangerous. Overanalyzing someone's behavior in an attempt to catch him directly contributes to the anxiety a lot of queer and queer questions people feel when they fear living in their truth. And I don't know what's been chewing on y'all, but I know y'all ate up. Gathered the people so eloquently, they was in the comments like it was an Inspector Gadget Anonymous. Talking about, I too used to look at men and try to get the gotcha before the gotcha got me. Girl! This frame of mind also emphasizes something my friend Obio said to me the other day. Listen to our podcast. Y'all think gay is a behavior. Goodness gracious. When really what you're sussing out is femininity, which doesn't necessarily inform somebody's sexuality. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression are all different. And yes, I know it can get a little confusing for us straights, but taking the time to understand those differences can reduce the danger that Tyler was talking about, and we'll get right back to that in just a second. The Human Rights Campaign defines sexual orientation as the inherent romantic or sexual attraction to other people. Gender identity refers to one's inner concept of self as male, female, a blend of both, or neither. How individuals perceive themselves and what they call themselves regardless of what they bits and parts talking about. And gender expression, stay with me now, is the external appearance of one's gender identity, usually expressed through behavior, clothing, body characteristics, or voice, and may or may not fit into the box of masculinity or femininity that you think it should. And that's that on that. Now, what was so beautiful about Tyler's PSA was that instead of jumping into defense mode, he immediately used the moment to be an ally. Not for show, but for real. And besides Dwayne Wade, we don't see very many public-facing straight black men go to bat for black queer folk. And Tyler's not new to this. He's true to this. His two younger brothers came after him years ago, and you know what he did? He started reading books. What? The man wanted to educate himself to be a better big brother. His brother Tyrell said not only did he start reading bell hooks, but also recommended that they all read it together so they could all learn together. That's a good man, Savannah. He completely deconstructed his views on what masculinity looks like so he could be there for them unconditionally. And that's the thing. Y'all want so bad for somebody to be found out, pushed out of the closet, and into isolation and vulnerability, all for what? So you can be like, gotcha, bitch. What? And this is the danger he was getting at. This femphobia, also strangely tied to Eurocentric gender roles black people were never designed to uphold in the first place, is also tied to DL culture. And I think we can all agree that DL culture is harmful as it's a threat to everybody's sexual health, especially in the Bible Belt. The South alone takes up 51% of new cases of HIV every year, and black, gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men account for 6 out of every 10 of these new cases. That's nearly twice that of white and Hispanic or Latino men who have sex with men. And black women account for nearly 67% of them down here. Now, HIV is not the only risk factor implied here, but the reason DL culture persists in the harmful way that it does is because conversations that surround closeted black K culture are nestled in shame and not in compassion. Just listen to If Only for One Night from the perspective of Luther being a closeted man. Bet money you'll never hear it the same again. And Tyler, the class act that he is, goes on to say that speculating on sexuality makes the most pedestrian of conversations and interactions and spaces feel less safe for our gay brothers and sisters and those who may be queer questioning. These folks might not never feel safe or supported coming out because y'all make it feel like such a hostile environment. And on top of that, just 2 days ago, the HRC declared a state of emergency for the first time in their history due to the more than 75 anti-LGBTQ plus laws that have passed this year alone, which include gender-affirming care bans, bathroom bans, sports participation bans, LGBTQ erasure laws, pronoun refusals, and all of that. The UCLA School of Law Williams Institute reported last year that LGBTQers are 9 times more likely than non-LGBTQers to be victims of violent hate crimes. And even if queer folks weren't being targeted physically and politically, I absolutely refuse to let y'all forget about the social stigma that comes along with being outed. Because the shame don't stop at aha. It in fact contributes to the high rates of suicide within the LGBTQ community. So maybe think twice about studying the way somebody crossed their legs or the lay of their blouse before fixing your fingers to start some mess. I don't know, maybe get outside and touch some grass.
If this indictment is true, if what it says is actually the case, President Trump was incredibly reckless with our national security. More than that, I'm a military spouse. My husband's about to deploy this weekend. This puts all of our military men and women in danger if you are going to talk about what our military is capable of or how we would go about invading or doing something with one of our enemies. Welcome back to America Decides. That was GOP presidential candidate Nikki Haley criticizing former President Trump's indictment. Other GOP candidates on the campaign trail are also weighing in. CBS News senior White House and political correspondent Ed O'Keefe joins me now. And Ed, just want to get your thoughts on Haley's characterization that she thinks the former president was reckless.
She seems to be going there now and being far more critical and outspoken in her concerns about this, pointing out, as we've known for a few weeks, that her husband is indeed deploying this weekend with the South Carolina National Guard, but trying to put herself at distance from him now that the content of the accusations is out there. We should point out, however, before she says that in that interview, she does what just about every other Republican presidential candidate has done in recent days, and that is either revive or start their own criticisms about how the Justice Department and the FBI writ large have been investigating the former president.
What do you think is the strategy behind that?
The Republican base simply thinks that they're being unfair to the former president and that they have aggressively targeted the Republican frontrunner, former president, more so than President Biden or Hillary Clinton, as you just heard in your conversation with Congresswoman Mace. That speaks to a real concern that a lot of base voters have about it. That said, to hear her, Nikki Haley, go out there and now say, if it's true, it's quite serious and we should be concerned about it. To hear Tim Scott earlier today in a quick conversation with reporters at an event he held in South Carolina say something very similar is a sign that a bunch of these candidates who, let's face it, are far further down in the rankings than the former president right now, realize that one way to get ahead potentially is to put distance between them and these accusations against
them. How does that square with other candidates, though, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis?
He has also suggested that there's been a, quote, weaponization, unquote, of the Justice Department, a pretty aggressive characterization of where he thinks things are at. Has not weighed in as much on the specific charges, and I suspect he's going to get asked about it again at some point soon, and we'll see how he responds. But, you know, there are those like DeSantis who are trying to hug as close to, if not the former president himself, then to his policies, his style, and his base of support, than other candidates who perhaps are making a play for the more traditional Republican voter. That would certainly be Nikki Haley and Tim Scott. And they understand that there's a big segment of the party, or people who at least have associated with it in the past, who believe that what they're seeing here in this indictment is pretty serious.
And what about President Biden and Democrats and their reaction? I mean, I know the president has been reticent to weigh in on this, but given what you just said in terms of the characterization of the Justice Department, I mean, how can he keep his distance without looking like his Justice Department is involved? I mean, how does he straddle that line?
Keep his head down and keep away from anything that would suggest he's involved or monitoring it in any way. Refused to say last Friday when he was at, Thursday at two different events when the, it was Friday, sorry. He was asked twice during stops in North Carolina whether he had any comment on it, whether he talked to the attorney general. He said no comment. Today in the briefing.
But is that enough?
Well, no, we don't know. But what they have said since day one, what he said as a candidate was, I'm not going to weigh in on specific cases at the Justice Department. I'm not going to do anything that would suggest politicization of federal prosecutions. And so he's avoided bringing it up himself. When asked, we'll see how he comments. But even today at the briefing, they wouldn't say whether he's read the indictment at the suggestion of the special counsel, Jack Smith, who has told all Americans they should read the indictment for themselves.
And do you think those concerns will stand out more if Biden ends up opposing someone other than Trump?
We'll see. You know, who is it and how aggressively do they potentially raise the issue of, as they call it, the weaponization or the politicization of the Justice Department and the FBI? Remember, DeSantis and others have said that FBI's top leadership has to be cleaned out. In her statements today, Haley was suggesting that the entire federal justice system has to be reconsidered. I mean, those are pretty aggressive stances to take, but it speaks to the anger that a lot of voters, or at least the skepticism, that a lot of Americans have about how the Justice Department and the FBI are being run.
All right. Ed O'Keefe, thank you so much for joining us as always. And of course, we will see you tomorrow evening when Ed actually anchors America Decides. He will be right here for you.
Donald Trump's got to be a show up for an arraignment in Miami. Lord, his supporters, they are pissed off, all upset, mad, angry, saying that this is it. They're going to take up arms for their guy. Okay, you can try that bullshit if you want to. You're going to end up like them fools on January 6th, like one of these fools who said that, now it was a mistake that he actually hit a police officer. He's now facing 14 years in prison. Guess what? You're about to go to jail. So y'all go and act a fool if you want to, but I'm telling you how it's going to end up. if you try to act a fool, because they're gonna be waiting to jack you. And they should, because y'all are crazy. Now, over the weekend, it was a number of folks out there on, talking about this particular story. I have gotten some of the greatest laughs watching some of these fools do all they can to defend Donald Trump. Now, one of the ones that really got me going was Jim Jordan. Over the weekend, he was on CNN with Dana Bash. And y'all should have heard this man with all of the mental gymnastics trying to explain why Trump was fine, why everything was good. Okay, y'all want a good laugh? Watch this. This is the best of Comedy Central.
Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States has the ability to classify and control access to information. That's what the Constitution
and
the court have said. So you can't obstruct when you can't obstruct when there's
no underlying crime. He is not the President of the United States.
That is the fundamental flaw.
If you, and you're just taking him at his word.
And when he was president, he declassified the material.
But he says point blank, on tape, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't. He says, in his own words, it's on tape as part of this indictment. He did not declassify the material. Therefore, it is
Dana,
classified.
Saying he could have is not the same as saying he didn't.
He said now he can't.
He has declassified this material. He said that meant now he can't, right, because he's not president now. But when he was
president, he did declassify.
He said that.
Which means what he was holding was classified.
No, not if he declassified it when he was president of the United States, for goodness sake.
But he's saying point blank in this audio tape that he did not declassify it. What you're saying just doesn't make sense on its face.
This truly is, Dana, an affront to the rule of law. It's an affront to consistent application of the law. You have Secretary Clinton, who had classified material on a server. She was not president of the United States. She was Secretary Clinton. You have that happen. Nothing happens to her. When you have two people who do the same thing, and one has the standard that I've talked about, but the only one who gets indicted is the Republican. The only one who gets indicted is the one who was actually president, who did it the right way. Oh, my goodness. That is what the American people see. And the other...
Really? That was it? It's cute how they love trying to bring up Clinton, trying to bring up President Joe Biden, trying to say, oh, they had documents. See, here's the difference. They gave them back. There was a subpoena. They literally have the notes of Donald Trump's own attorney who admits that he was trying to hide them. See, it's a little hard to sit here and dance around that. And they have worked themselves up into a lather. I mean they're really upset. But they're really ticked off because not everybody who has been in Trump's orbit actually agrees with it because... Well, there's another guy who was the attorney general for Donald Trump, Bill Barr, who covered his ass on a whole bunch of stuff. Well, he went on Fox News on Sunday and was like, yeah, they got his ass.
Chief argument that comes up for the president's allies and his legal team that this should have been handled under the Presidential Records Act, not this Espionage Act charge and other federal statutes that were used here.
Well, it started out under the Presidential Records Act and the archives trying to retrieve documents that Trump had no right to have. But it quickly became clear that what the government was really worried about were these classified and very sensitive documents. I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly. And so the government's agenda was to get those, protect those documents and get them out. And I think it was perfectly appropriate to do that. It was the right thing to do. And I think the counts under the Espionage Act that he willfully retained those documents are solid counts. Now, I do think we have to wait and see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment. And it's very, very damning. And this idea of presenting Trump as a victim here, a victim of a witch hunt, is ridiculous. Yes, he's been a victim in the past. Yes, his adversaries have obsessively pursued him with phony claims. And I've been at his side defending against them when he is a victim. But this is much different. He's not a victim here. He was totally wrong that he had the right to have those documents. Those documents are among the most sensitive secrets that the country has. They have to be in the custody of the archivist. He had no right to maintain them and retain them. And he kept them in a way at Mar-a-Lago that anyone who really cares about national security, their stomach would churn at it.
If anybody cares about national security, Lord, the folk on the right, y'all, are just beside themselves. They have been acting a plum fool, angry and upset. But the thing that's so crazy, they're literally defending stupidity. They are so desperate to kiss this man's ass that they will knowingly defend BS. He was wrong. 100% without a doubt, flat out wrong. And he ignored the subpoena. He ignored the... And they said, dog, we ain't coming after you. Just give us the papers back. His own attorney recorded notes where he said, I don't want you going through my boxes. My pal, Dr. Julianne Malvo, she's the Dean, College of Ethnic Studies, California State University, Los Angeles. Dr. Amakongo Dabinga, Senior, Professorial Lecturer, School of International Service, American University, out of D.C. And Arita Shannon, former Georgia State Representative, out of Atlanta. I think all of this is utterly hilarious, Amakongo, because the Republicans are embarrassing themselves. They're embarrassing themselves defending a known liar, a man who ignored the directives of his own attorney, who wanted them to engage in his lies. They were like, say, dog, I ain't giving up my damn law license for your ass. They got the goods on them. But yeah, they want to keep playing games.
I think that, and you use the right term in terms of a game, because this is a game. I think that those who are running for president, they are hoping that in some way, shape, or form, this takes Donald Trump out, and they are either auditioning to be his number two if it doesn't take him out, or they are fighting to get his base. They want his base of support if for some reason he's removed from the picture. But they are really playing a dangerous game, because their rhetoric that they're putting out there can lead to even more dangerous things happening. We saw January 6th, we saw FBI offices getting targeted. And even now, the FBI is saying that there's no real chat about something major happening in Miami tomorrow, but there could be lone wolves out there who take this stuff seriously. And so these guys are being extremely dangerous. And not only the candidates, when you have some of these congressmen, when you have people like Carrie Lake, who lost in Arizona, talking about this is my public service announcement that we all got guns, so you better be careful. I believe, Roland, at the end of the day, that some of these guys are unhinged enough that they actually want war. They've used the term war. They've used military terminology. And some people are like, oh, they're just trying to act big and tough. They actually want this. They want dissension. They want destruction, because they thrive in it. And these candidates, Tim Scott and the others, you know, Nikki Haley tried to clean it up a little bit over the weekend because her husband's in the military. But here's the last thing I'll say, Roland. These guys who are defending Trump like this, they don't know everything that's going to come out that Jack Smith and Merrick Garland have. So there's going to be deeper things that are going to come out. And I just want to see how far they're going to take their defense, because we still do not yet know what Trump actually did with the documents. We know people took photos and all of this other things and where they were stored. But where did they, who came in, took pictures, and what did they do with them? Did Donald Trump sell them? Is this how Jared Kushner got that multi-billion or million-dollar deal with Saudi Arabia? When that stuff comes out, it's going to be very interesting to see how they still try to twist themselves in the pretzels like they're at my yoga studio or something, trying to defend this.
Here's Nikki Haley trying to, as you said, distance herself from this. Watch.
When I was at the UN, I mean, I saw that the president never got an ounce of credit or a moment's peace. I also had to deal with the Russiagate, because that's what they were swirling around all the time, and we saw that that was not a fact. This is what I'll tell you. Two things can be true at the same time. One, the DOJ and FBI have lost all credibility with the American people. And getting rid of just senior management isn't going to be enough to fix this. This is going to take a complete overhaul, and we have to do that. Two, The second thing can also be true. If this indictment is true, if what it says is actually the case, President Trump was incredibly reckless with our national security. More than that, I'm a military spouse. My husband's about to deploy this weekend. This puts all of our military men and women in danger. If you are going to talk about what our military is capable of, or
oh,
how we would
I love
go
two
about
things can be
invading
true at the same time. Bottom line is they know this fool is wrong, so they're trying to soften a blow. Just have some guts and speak truth.
Absolutely. And when you read that indictment of what Trump has been charged with, it's just absolutely egregious. Nobody who cares about national security can look at that and say that what he did was okay. And it's just so egregious because even his attorney talks about how he tried to stop him from breaking the law and the lengths that he went to go around his attorney to make sure that he could break the law. And so I'm glad that Bill Barr, you know, Bill Barr doesn't get any credit, but I'm glad that for once he finally admitted that what Trump did was completely wrong and it is completely dangerous for this country. And so it, all this is very interesting to me. Republicans are always proclaiming to be the real patriots, but here we see that they are completely fine with a former president putting all of us at risk, not only the United States, but also our allies at risk. And so Trump has done irreparable damage to the country.
Now, this to me is, if you want to see just absolutely embarrassing, Julianne, is listening to Tim Scott and Harris Faulkner on Fox News. Now, this is just utterly pitiful. Listen to this nonsense.
Turn now to Senator Tim Scott. He is running in the Republican field for the nomination of the Republican Party for the White House against Donald Trump. Senator, it's an awkward position to be in, but the bottom line is you're a Republican. This was a Republican president, and look at what has happened. Your reaction.
Well, Harris, more importantly, I'm an American, and let's look at what's happening to an American. More important than Republicans or Democrats, red or blue, black or white, is this notion that our nation is the greatest nation on earth because Lady Justice has a blindfold on. That means that Republicans are not hunted and Democrats are not protected. It means that we look at every single case based on the evidence. And in America, every single person is presumed innocent, not guilty. And what we've seen over the last several years is the weaponization of the Department of Justice against the former president. You don't have to be a Republican to see injustice and want to fix it. You don't have to be a Democrat to see injustice and want to fix it. You just...
Boy, can you answer the question? he going all over the world. Can your ass answer the damn question? Yeah, I'm going to play the rest of it, then I'm going to get Julianne. But, I mean, this is like a whole lot of nothing. First of all, I'm an American. Well, shit, was somebody questioning your status like your party did Obama? All right, y'all, let me play. I can only stomach so much of this crap. So here's here's 60 more seconds.
I have to be an American and stand up for the right thing. I don't care whether you're on my party or not in my party. I don't care if you look like me or not. The one thing that makes America the city on the hill is confidence in our justice system. And today, what we see is a justice system where the scales are weighted. That seems to be the outcome of where we are today. As president of the United States, I would purge all of the injustices and impurities in our system so that every American can have confidence that they will be seen by the Lady of Justice with a blindfold on. That is what we need in this nation, not more politicizing of the issues.
Yeah. Will you reach out, or have you reached out to the former President Trump?
Well, I was sitting here waiting to come on air, so this is the first time I've had an opportunity to have a conversation, and I certainly will continue to pray for our nation and continue to pray that justice prevails.
Senator Scott, thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
He said, didn't even answer the second question. Julianne, go ahead.
No, he's incapable. I mean, I read the indictment. I don't know why. Well, I did read the indictment. Trump clearly took national security and he didn't pay attention, had papers in the bathroom, on the floor. You know, I mean, looks like somebody with ADD going through government documents. Not only that, I mean, first of all, Tim Scott, I don't even know why you pay that man any attention. He's an American. You know, he's an American. That's your answer to everything. He doesn't care what party you're in because he's an American. Know what he is a blankety blank, blank, blank fool. And every time he opens his mouth, he confirms the notion that he doesn't have enough sense. I don't know what he's running for, but he's certainly not running for president. He's running for secretary or something. Certainly not state, not housing, not. The indictment is very, very compelling, especially because of the inside information that exists in that indictment. You know that some of Trump's own people turned on him to get this information out. That's number one. Number two, I don't know what website I was on, but there's some website where his supporters were talking about lynching people, taking back over the government. January 6th, again, one of them said if you thought January 6th was bad, watch out. Well, hopefully this time law enforcement gets it and he won't have this opportunity to churn his followers into a bunch of rabid fools. But, you know, thirdly, this is very sad, not that Trump has been indicted, but that some people who've read the indictment, some Republicans who read it, still believe that this is political. It's not political. Hillary never took documents that she wasn't supposed to have. She was never subpoenaed. Biden has some old documents. Again, he was never subpoenaed. When they asked him, do you have anything? He went through it and he gave it back to him. This is just egregious and it's arrogant. I mean, he might not have even gotten caught if he hadn't said, see, I have this document. I'm not supposed to have it. I could have declassified it. I didn't, but I have it. Well, you can't look at it because it's secret. Well, why do you have it out and throw it about? This is the arrogance is just unspeakable. One of the Republican sites said he needs to learn how to shut his mouth. Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, a whole bunch of them need to learn how to shut their mouths. I just can't stop cracking up when I hear these people talking. It just is literally comedy, except what makes my stomach hurt.
The bottom line is they don't want to accept what is truth.
We have a press conference that just wrapped up near the scene of that I-95 fire and collapse. We want to head right out to our reporter there on scene. Madeline Wright has been there tracking the very latest for us all morning long. So what did we learn in that press conference, Madeline?
Good morning, Jan. Yeah, we just got an update a couple seconds ago from the emergency management office as well as the Philadelphia Fire Department. What we learned is that this is going to be a long day for the fire department. They're still working to get this tanker fire under control. They've kind of backed away from actually calling it a tanker fire. They said it's a possible tanker truck that caught fire, but it was definitely a vehicle fire underneath I-95. And right now, I-95 is shut down in both directions between Academy Road and Bridge Street. What we learned in the press conference is that one of the biggest challenges of the fire department getting this fire under control is that the seat or the origin of the fire is buried underneath thousands of pounds of steel and concrete and other material. Because what happened was when the vehicle caught fire, I-95 North collapsed on top of it. And so when firefighters have been using these ladder trucks to pour water on it from the top, not all of that water is seeping to the bottom. And so for the last 2 hours, they've been working to fight this fire. I'm going to take a step out of the way so you can take a look at the scene here. This is the intersection of State Road and Cottman Avenue, which is a staging area for the police department and the fire department. Now there's also a federal response involved because the interstate is shut down and it's going to require heavy construction to rebuild the portion of the road that was collapsed. I want to pull up some video, if I can, showing Chopper 3, the damage from above. The northbound side has collapsed, and the southbound side is questionable because it's buckled. The commute tomorrow is going to be a mess. This road is not going to be open for some time. There's damage that has to be assessed. It's going to be very difficult for people tomorrow, especially those who have to go to the northbound side of the highway in the Tacony area, which is where we are now. Locally, the roads around the highway are also shut down at this hour because the emergency response is still active. The two-block radius on the north and on the east and the westbound side of the highway is blocked off. There have been some explosions within the last hour. I counted about 13 or 14 booms that we heard. I saw a manhole cover flying into the air. We're told that that's a buildup of pressure from underground. There's also an environmental concern here. There's some fuel that leaked that they're worried could spill off into the Delaware River. The Coast Guard is involved trying to keep that situation under control. But the main thing for people to know right now at home is that the north and southbound side of I-95 are shut down in both directions between Academy Road and Bridge Street because of a vehicle that caught fire underneath the highway. And this part of the road will be shut down for some time. There are a lot of moving parts. A lot of different agencies are getting involved. There are hundreds of people who are involved in responding to this incident and dealing with the aftermath of this incident. This is right in the middle of an industrial area. There are homes and businesses. There are some abandoned warehouses as well. I'm looking right now at a citywide roofing company and a used car dealership. So people who need to go to these businesses are not going to be able to get in here because of the roads being shut down in the wake of this vehicle fire underneath I-95. It's still unclear from that press conference whether anybody was hurt. The vehicle that caught fire was presumably parked. That it didn't seem like it was in motion. They haven't found any driver of that vehicle. But there is an investigation underway to track down the person who the vehicle belonged to, as well as the cause of the fire. That part's going to take some time as well. But the immediate situation is getting the fire under control because it has reignited in the last hour or so. And then assessing the damage in the aftermath and police having to figure out a way to divert traffic around the highway since the highway is going to be shut down for the morning commute. So big mess here in Tacony. And we'll keep you posted with any new developments on air and online. Live in Tacony, Madeline Wright, CBS News, Philadelphia.
RCT, Pittsburgh.
I'm just doing my best for you, baby. I can't be nobody else. I can only be myself. Just doing my best for your loving. I can't be no one but me. Baby, can't you see I'm just doing my best? We'll be right back.
all this love's a two-way street.
You got the best of me.
You everything I got, but I can't be something I'm not.
It's something you can't change.
But we gon' make it, just say it's doing my best for you, baby. I can't be nobody else. I can only be myself. Just doing my best for your loving. I can't be no one but me. Baby, can't you see? I'm just doing my best for you, baby. I can't be nobody else. I can only be myself. Just doing my best for your loving. I can't be no one.
Here's a song all about my deep devotion and love to the banjo. Yeah, there's a lot of jokes about the banjo. Silver strings are really fun to play. I learned a lot of jokes about the banjo. Try to memorize a new one every day. I admit that the banjo isn't sexy. It makes all the pretty girls run away. I learn a thing or two about the banjo, like the finest birth control is when you play. Oh, the world is full of jokes about the banjo. Some so bad they leave you in dismay. There's millions of jokes about the banjo. Here's a few to brighten up your day. What's the best way to tune a banjo? Wire cutters. You know, most banjo players spend half their career tuning and the other half playing out of tune. Know the difference between a banjo and a fish? You can tune a fish. How do you know the stage is level, John? Banjo player drools out of both sides of his mouth. What's the difference between a banjo and a yugo? You can tune a yugo. I know, most of you are going, what's a yugo? All the banjo players are going, what's tuning? What's the definition of an optimist? That's a banjo player with a pager. What do you say to a banjo player in a three-piece suit? Will the defendant please rise? Hey, Howard.
Yes, Michael.
What's the difference between a banjo and a puppy? Eventually, the puppy stops whining. What's the definition of a gentleman? That's someone who knows how to play the banjo, but doesn't. What does a banjo and a lawsuit have in common? Everybody feels better when the case is closed. How do you get a banjo player's eyes to sparkle?
Just shine a flashlight in his ears. How do you make the banjo player slow down, John? Put sheet music in front of him. Hey, Howard.
Yes, Michael.
Why are there no banjos in the movie Star Wars? Because it's the future. And finally, my favorite banjo joke of all. What do you call a beautiful woman on the arms of a banjo player? A tattoo. Yeah, there's a lot of jokes about the banjo. Silver strings are really fun to play. There's millions of jokes about the banjo. I memorize a new one every day. I admit the banjo isn't sexy. It chases all those pretty girls away. But one thing that I've learned about the banjo, the finest birth control is when you play. Well, the world is full of jokes about the banjo. Some so bad they leave you in dismay. There's millions of jokes about the banjo. I hope you enjoyed a few today.
WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh is a mistress, a wife, a pen friend, a checkout girl, a complimentary moist lemon-scented cleansing square, or a handy freshen-up white pet. WRCT is the breath of God, the dew on a fresh apple. It's the soft rain of dust that falls into a shaft of morning sun when you pull from an old bookshelf a forgotten volume of romantic diaries. It's a half-remembered childhood birthday party, a creak on the stair, a sputtering match held to a frosted pane, the warm, wet, trusting touch of a leaking nappy, the hulk of a charred panzer, the underside of a granite boulder, the first downy growth on the upper lip of a Mediterranean girl, cobwebs long since overrun by an old Wellington boot.
RCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
that crazy sound of that good old cameo sound.
determined.